Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, this is Brian. Welcome to the Panelcast.
And I'm AJ, and this is our 78th episode.
Not too much happened this week, so we're going to make this a short show.
And lack of news and reviews should make this all boring as hell.
So we'll be right back right after this.
Hey, I'm Penn from Mostly Harmless Entertainment. Come check out all our cool videos and movies that we do at mostlyharmlessent.com. You can also find us on YouTube at YouTube/mostlyharmless. Check out all the cool stuff we're doing around Redlands and IE and California and Washington and the world stuff. Okay, bye.
And we're back. And I don't know about you, AJ, but I'm pretty excited.
About what?
I don't know. We've got some awesome stuff for this episode, right?
Sure.
All right, well, why don't you start us off with the news?
I still don't understand why you're excited. I'm scared.
I'm just trying to put some energy into this whole thing, you know?
Oh, okay, I see. You had Red Bull. That's what happened. All right, well, the first story coming up is the Animation Picture Company is set to develop the 3D animated feature Zombie Pet Shop, reports Variety. The story concerns a mysterious plague that sweeps through a mall pet shop, turning all the animals into zombies. An ordinary pug must find the antidote that will save his four-legged friends, as well as the humans that might take them home. Zombie Pet Shop. Almost along the same lines as Avengers Pets or something like that comic book that came out. I don't know.
I have not heard of this, and I'm actually kind of glad I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it, but I'm not expecting too much.
It sounds kind of Japanese to me. Zombie Pet Shop. I don't know.
It sounds like Japanese to me.
Yeah. But it sounds like a Japanese title that wouldn't have zombies or pets in it.
It could be.
It'd probably be Giant Fighting Robots.
Giant Fighting Robots. You can't go bad with Giant Fighting Robots. You just can't. Unless you're Transformers.
Well, here's an interesting story. We've talked a lot about various iconic characters that people are fighting over the legal rights to. A whole slew of Marvel characters and Superman and all that shit. Well, apparently, the classic big-headed sex icon Betty Boop is also being fought over. And not by her cartoon suitors either. Apparently, a bunch of people are, it's Fleischer Studios and somebody else. Grim Natwick. I can't pronounce these goddamn names, I swear.
But damn Fleischer, you people in the world, if you're going to be in the news, have pronounceable names.
Yeah, so basically, I guess the heirs of the creators and the studio are fighting over this, and it almost kind of sounds exactly like the whole Superman thing. It's the same story, just a different character. And honestly, I mean, this is just my personal opinion. It obviously has no legal bearing, but I think all these characters should eventually at some point come into the public domain.
Yeah, you know, like the movie Universal movie monsters and stuff, they're all pretty much public domain at this point. Sherlock Holmes, all that. So, yeah, eventually these things should come into public domain. I mean, they're already making fun of it on that one cartoon show I can't remember the name of, but, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it would, for one thing, it would end stupid, pointless court debates like this where people are fighting over the rights for, you know, just cartoon characters. I mean, really, after a certain point, it should just belong to everybody. But, you know, that's just me.
It is just you. Brian, I don't know if you had a chance to watch this trailer yet. It is fairly, very phenomenal and awesome. But the trailer was recently released for the new video game called Dead Island.
I have, yes. I did actually quite enjoy that.
That thing was phenomenal. It came out, 2 days after the trailer came out. The producer of The Mummy, Sean Daniel, is part of a group that has recently acquired film rights to the video game, which was over a year ago. But 2 days after the trailer came out, it was announced that it was indeed going to become a movie. The game's story follows a family that has the bad fortune to vacation on an island paradise during a contagious zombie outbreak. The family is cut off from the rest of the world and has to protect the other survivors and escape. Daniel and Union Entertainment are currently working on trying to find the right script. The big question is if what works beautifully over 3 well-edited minutes could lose the impact if drawn out to a feature length. So, yeah, also, who in the world could possibly top this trailer, even a live-action form, as it's a marketing person's wet dream? It is a phenomenal trailer, and it looks badass, just on the trailer alone. I mean, first off, you said zombies, and I'm down to go, right? Mm-hmm. That's just a given. But then the trailer itself looks so phenomenal that I've watched it back and forth over and over again, and apparently there's a new... They mementoed it. They made it so that you can watch it in chronological order as well. And I haven't had a chance to watch that because, again, I don't want to memento it. If you ever watch Memento in full chronological order, that movie's stupid. It is. It's completely stupid and retarded. But when you watch it in the way that it's panned out, it's phenomenal.
Right. Well, the whole point of Memento is, you know, it's kind of like the gimmick of how they did the movie.
Right.
It's not really about the story.
Right. It's the same way with Donnie Darko. When they re-edited the Donnie Darko to let you know that it's all about time travel from the get-go, that movie just loses all its luster, you know. So it's the same way with the Dead Island trailer. I haven't bothered to watch it because I don't want it to be ruined for me. So congratulations on getting the film rights, guys. I look forward to seeing it. Hopefully it'll be CGI animated like the trailer. That'd be awesome.
Well, apparently, Boom Studios has relaunched their Boom Kids line. It's now called Kaboom. And they're essentially not really making any changes aside from just the name. But there is one notable thing that they did is they recently acquired the rights to publish Peanuts comics. So I'm not sure. I've been looking for details on exactly what it is they're going to be doing. If they're just going to be... I'm assuming it's probably going to be collections of the Peanuts cartoons, and I don't really know if it's going to be new ones or if it's going to be old ones or what exactly the extent of that is. But I'd say that's pretty huge because Peanuts is one of the most iconic cartoons ever.
I'm a huge Peanuts fan. I thought you said you hated it.
I don't particularly enjoy Peanuts, but that doesn't mean that I don't recognize its importance. You know, I mean, I do recognize the fact that Peanuts is an iconic cartoon, and I mean, it has played a big part in my childhood, reading cartoons and everything. So for me, it didn't really stand the test of time, and I stopped enjoying it after a certain point.
Sometimes I'm completely amazed and astounded by the fact they actually had a childhood. I mean, I can't picture you being conceived or anything.
Well, I was decanted from a tube.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was a little bit different from everybody else, but I mean, when I was younger, I did read Peanuts comics.
Wow, okay. Well, moving right on with that. Recently, it's become leaked out that Kevin Costner has been cast in Superman. As to what role he will play, there has not been no announcement for it, but I'm guessing it's either going to be Perry White or Jonathan Kent.
Either way, I felt a knot in my stomach upon hearing that.
I don't. You know, Kevin Costner can do a good job if he's a cowboy, but you know, as long as Waterworld doesn't show up, then he's good to go. Along the same lines, Dark Horizons had reported in the same article that Tom Hardy put on an appearance on a comedian Alan Carr's Chatty Man talk show recently, and was amusingly asked whether he would have to wear a gimp mask like Bane did in the 1997 Batman and Robin. Hardy replied, "Only if I feel like it," and said to the audience, "You know, Christopher Nolan has revisited the territory entirely. Everything that Christopher Nolan has done for any of the iconic villains in the past Batman films, he will take that same effect to both Catwoman and Bane. So if you trusted his opinions and creations at that point, then you can do so with this character." He also says that he had to put on about 27 pounds so that for the role of Bane, in order to, like, buff up and you know, portray him properly. So, I'm pretty happy about Tom Hardy, but not about Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Maybe, you know, he'll end up pulling one of his not-so-bad performances.
It happens every now and then.
Yeah, he's kind of a hit-or-miss actor. Some of the things he does I like, and some of the things he does I just really fucking hate.
Yeah, Waterworld.
Yeah. Postman.
Yeah. Waterworld.
So, digital comics distributor, graphically, is going to be launching an Android app soon. So, for all you people out there that enjoy reading comics on tiny little screens, well, yeah. Be prepared to have another way to do that. Although, I guess, actually, you know, I'm being kind of glib saying that, because, you know, they've got the Android tablets that are coming out soon, so pretty, you know, they're pretty soon going to have a rather larger screen to be reading stuff on for Android.
Brian, I hate to break this to you, but Android tablets have been out for about a year now.
Yeah, they have been, but they're not really good. And honestly, a lot of the applications and stuff really haven't caught up to the larger screens yet. So, you know, I don't think that they're really competing as far as that goes. But for the few people out there that actually do have an Android tablet, then yeah, you can go ahead and get graphically.
Yeah. So, apparently there's going to be an animatronic space jockey in the film Prometheus. Prometheus being the prequel to the Alien series. An insider claims that production is currently constructing an animatronic space jockey, with the construction being overseen by artist and original Xenomorph designer H.R. Giger. The 8-foot-tall animatronic has a semi-human head, while they also claim that there's a CG alien that is just a giant head piloting the ship. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very much so.
If they're bringing Giger back in to do the artwork for it, expect to see a lot of hidden penises everywhere.
No, I'm not going to look for that, but I'm sure you will.
It'll be there, trust me. The guy has issues. Fantastic artist, but...
Alrighty then, you penis-loving penis lover.
Penis. So
we just can't say penis enough on the show today.
We're trying to liven this up here. Two people have pled guilty to defrauding Comic-Con. Apparently during the last Comic-Con, a couple of guys were arrested for selling counterfeit badges to people, and
don't need no stinking really, badges.
Yeah, well, when I saw the headline for this, I was thinking it was going to be something huge, and then they were sentenced to 10 days of community service and ordered to pay $750. So, really, was kind of anticlimactic when I started reading it, but
that's a very big slap on the wrist.
Yeah,
bad. No, get some talent, write a comic book, and go for free like everybody else.
So, you know, if you have an extra $750 and 10 days to spare, then go ahead and counterfeit some badges for Comic-Con.
How do you counterfeit those things anyway? It's retarded.
I don't know. Probably registered for their own and then scanned them and photoshopped them.
Yeah, but you get them the day of. It's not like you have a lot of time to do that.
I'm assuming they were selling them probably after. Like, they went and picked up their badges on the first day and then... So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of details in there about what exactly it did. It's just mostly dealing with the fact that they got charged for the crime, so.
Yeah, well. Anyway, recently, a little news bit about the new Amazing Spider-Man has squeaked out. One of the primary important crew members, who shall remain nameless, recently let us slip that to one of our readers. And I'm reporting this off of the BigFanboy.com, by the way. That many of the stunt actors in the film has been spending time in heavy makeup for hours on end because of a fight scene in the film where they're turning all the SWAT team guys into reptilian creatures. I'd assume is some nefarious work of the Lizard. Are these police guys pictured with Captain Stacy in the helicopter photos above? Again, I'm reading off the website, so don't mind me. Anyway, so, it looks like there's going to be a big fight scene with a whole bunch of lizards and stuff, which... I don't know, take it for what you will. But it lets you know what's going on in the next film. And I babbled that story. Moving on, Brian.
Yeah, well, it's going on the Spider-Man trend here. Apparently, they're going to do a little blue water move, and they decided that, you know what, we don't have enough real-life celebrities in our comics, so we're going to write a storyline involving a sort of mediocre celebrity, Top Chef Eli Kirstein, who I personally don't even know who that is because I don't really watch TV. I mean, I know what Top Chef is, don't get me wrong. I know what that is, but I don't know any of the people that have actually won the show.
Is there anything you do know?
Not really.
Okay. Just check.
So, yeah, way to Blue Water Spider-Man there.
And I'm sure after this, there's going to be a Blue Water coming up. I'm sure there is.
Well, don't spoil the surprise. God.
There's no surprise with you, Brian. There's no surprise. Moving on. Sony. I'm sure Brian's going to love this one. Sony adapts Zombie vs. Robots feature.
I had actually heard about this.
Platinum Dunes is planning a film adaptation of Chris Ryle and Ashley Wood's comic book titled Zombie vs. Robots for Sony Pictures, reports Deadline. The story revolves around a young girl who's the last human left on Earth after a worldwide zombie outbreak. She's protected by a group of robots from the fierce zombies who are more intelligent than zombies we've seen in the past. So, yeah. But, because I know this is going to just make Brian cry like a little bitch, it's going to be produced by Michael Bay.
Oh, fuck. God damn it, you had me going.
Victory is mine.
Oh, that's it. Oh. Well, I guess that set me in the right mood for my next story, which is, guess who Blue Water is doing this time around?
Michael Bay?
No, actually not Michael Bay. But they've decided they apparently that social networking or whatever that movie is that just came out wasn't enough information about Mark Zuckerberg, so they're doing a whole comic book about somebody that I don't give a fucking shit about. And it's not, I mean, not anything particularly against Mark Zuckerberg, but I don't understand the fascination with somebody that created a website, regardless of how popular it is.
I don't think it's a matter of popularity. It's a matter of the fact that the guy's a trillionaire.
Well, yeah. But at the same time, I wouldn't care about a comic book about Bill Gates either. So I don't understand the appeal. So, yeah, there you go. Blue Water and another one of their autobiographical comics.
You sound very sad.
Yeah, I want a sandwich.
Well, moving right along from that in the last story that we have in this segment, DJ Caruso has recently tweeted some very exciting news. Brian, can you guess what that is?
Is it about sandwiches?
No. Keep trying.
Is it about a movie?
Yes. Not the movie of the... sirens going off in the background of your recording there, but you can figure it out.
Is it about a movie that I want to see?
Possibly. It is about Preacher. He just closed a deal on directing Preacher.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's a something.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I definitely want to see a Preacher movie, regardless of how much I fear it's going to suck. I want to see it, but then on the other hand, I fear that it's going to suck.
You don't know that, Brian. You don't know that.
No, I don't. I don't know that. I'm not saying it's going to. I just fear that it will. If past comic book movies are any indicator, then chances are pretty likely that it's going to be not great.
You know what? I'd rather have DJ Caruso than Shia LaBeouf. I'm just going to say that right
now. Oh, well, yeah.
I'm just putting that out there right there.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I would actually be happy if they passed a law saying that Shia LaBeouf was not allowed to do any comic book movies.
That would be okay with me. Okay with me. Okay with me. So that's all the news and stuff that we have for this week, except for one little quick thing that I wanted to toss out there. And I only mention it quickly because we'll be talking more about it later on the show due to the fact that I'll be doing a review on the movie. Last year during Free Comic Book Day, Forbidden Panel got to sit down at Four Color Fantasies, surrounded by some talented artists and individuals, a lot of them, you know, in the professional world, more professional than we are. One of those people that we sat down with was Dwayne McDuffie. He passed away this past Tuesday, and while we didn't really get to know him much, we did get to know him. We got to talk to him and hang out with him. We spoke about him to Chris over at Four Color a lot, and so we are very sad to hear that he had passed away this week. So our condolences go out to his family and friends. He passed away due to complications due to surgery. It's not real clear on to everything that's going on. But again, I'll be talking more about it in the later segment because I watched All-Star Superman, which was his last feature film, which subsequently was released the day that he passed away. So, Dwayne McDuffie, you know, you'll be missed. And on that sad note, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, Brian's going to regale us with his nudity.
Greetings, Forbidden Panelites. This is Benjamin Gleibert, Director of Publishing for Symantec, San Diego's premium comic book publisher and home of Mythoi and the webcomic The Undergrounds. Check us out online at Symantec.com. That's Symantec.com. For now, enjoy your geeky gurus, AJ and Brian. Symantec Publishing. Find the meaning in print.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. All right, in this segment, Brian is going to regale us with some wonderful stuff. First off, let's just throw this out there real quick. Brian and I have failed this week in watching or reading anything interesting. I did watch one thing, which I will be talking about in another segment, but for the most part, we fail at the game of life. So what did you watch this week, Brian?
Well, actually, I've been watching Being Human, but I also started watching the U.S. version on Sci-Fi. You know, I don't know. I've seen four episodes of it. I haven't completely caught up with where the series is at just yet, but I don't know how I feel about it because some of the changes that they made are almost kind of jarring to me. And I guess maybe it's just because I'm watching the British version of the show as well, so it's maybe something that I notice a little bit more. The first thing that really kind of threw me off was that they changed the names of all the characters. Like, the characters are the exact same characters, they just changed the names for whatever reason. I'm trying to think of what it is about the names of the characters in the British show that needed changing. Or I would understand if they had made the characters a little bit different, but they're basically the exact same characters. You know, it's different actors, but the characters are pretty much identical. So that I don't really get.
But how is it in comparison to the British one?
I definitely like the British one better. I want to point out that I don't particularly like the actor Sam Witwer that's in the American version. So that is kind of that kind of sticks in my craw a little bit.
He plays George, right?
He plays Aiden, who is Mitchell.
Okay.
And then I don't remember the name of the guy that plays George, who is now Josh. And Annie is now Sally. Like, the name changes, but it seems like they put too much effort into changing the names rather than trying to make the show their own. Like, it's really like they just kind of took the show and just planted it into America. So it's exactly the same story so far. Like, the characters are all the same, they just have different names. And they threw in this little extra story for the Josh slash George character, which I didn't really understand. And another thing that's really bizarre to me, too, that really is kind of distracting almost, is this Sally slash Annie character, the ghost. It's a different actress, but they gave her the exact same costume. So it's just, it's, I don't know, it's like watching the Twilight Zone version of the show. It's just really bizarre, and it's, so I'm going to try to finish out the first season and see if I can, if they like kind of develop their own voice with it. But right now it just seems like they're just parroting the British version. And, you know, it's like they really, if they're going to change the names of the characters, they really should have tried to change the characters a little bit more, you know, make, develop something different with them and not just give me the exact same thing. I mean, because that's basically what I've seen. The first four episodes are pretty much the exact same storyline as the first season of the UK version of Being Human. So, you know, I'm hoping that they do something better with it, but right now they really haven't.
You know, what I find amusing is that the guy they have playing the George role or whatever his name is, mm-hmm. In the American version, Josh, is the same guy that played the caveman in that caveman TV series. You know what I'm talking about? Remember those commercials, the Geico commercials? So easy a caveman can do it?
Oh, that's him?
Yeah. And he was also the kid from the Tim Allen movie, where the kid was in the jungle.
I'm drawing a blank there.
I don't remember. It was crap, but yeah. That's all I remember.
He looks familiar, but I can't place him in anything. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of weak. I'm not a big fan of that. I as it is, Sam Witwer has, you know, burnt me out as far as being an actor after seeing him in Smallville. And also the fact that he is holy crap, I can't think right now. Who he's a major video game. Oh, he is a Starkiller from the Star Wars Force Unleashed game. That's who he interpreted as. So,
yeah, I think the thing that bothers me the most about him in this is that he's too, like, stereotypically, like, vampire-looking. Like, it just seems like they tried to cast him to kind of get people from the Twilight market to watch the show, and I don't like that.
Wow. Well, let's take a quick pause, and we'll be right back with a quick surprise. And we're back, everybody. So, yeah, we took that little pause because we were trying to bring in Brandy into the conversation because I'm sure she wanted something to say, but fortunately, due to technical difficulties, she did not. It did not happen. But she is messaging us during the whole thing and states that, you know.
Yeah, she wanted to inform everybody that the sci-fi version of Being Human sucks. So there's Brandy's take on it.
Yep, there you go. Oh well, Brandy, we miss you. But yeah, I haven't even bothered with it. Like I'm such a fan of the original. That
yeah, it's definitely not as good.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm such a fan of the original. I didn't want to bother ruining it. With the same with Skins. Like I'm such a fan of the original Skins that I didn't bother watching the American remake. The only remake of a British TV show that I am watching is Shameless, and that show is amazing. I love that show. So. But again, having not seen the original, then, you know, it doesn't bother me that much. So it doesn't affect me. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? And when we come back, I'm going to talk about All-Star Superman.
Hey, this is Cricket. I'm new to Forbidden Panel, and I'm also new to the whole world of geek. And I'm really excited to get your suggestions on new comic books and movies, things that are old, new, because I really don't know anything about any of it. So if you have any suggestions, just send them to me at cricket@forbiddenpanel.com. That's cricket@forbiddenpanel.com, and I'll see you online.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. Now, due to the technical difficulties of the last segment, we were finally able to bring in a special guest, Miss Brandy Ossett. Hi, Brandy.
Hi. Hi, AJ. Hi, Brian. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
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 Wait, who is this?
I don't know.
Oh, shut up.
It's Brandy. What's happening?
Guest caller, I guess.
What's going on?
Hi,
Brian is confused.
Hi, hi.
Don't confuse the white guy.
Oh, no. Well, isn't that not good one? But, anywho, yeah, it's great to be back. It's been a while since I've been on the show.
I know, a long time. How have you been?
Doing all right. Busy and tired and sleep-deprived. But other than that, life is good.
Oh, sweet. So you're not, you know, you're just like the rest of us, so that's okay.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But things are getting back on track. It's a nice rainy day in L.A., so we're getting around.
Yeah, it's raining here, too.
And here, too.
Fun.
Boo. Sick of the rain. I mean, like, I know it's winter, I know it's California, I know we need it, but it's that whole entire thing. It's like, I live in California. It should be like 76 degrees right now. What the hell is with this wet stuff falling from the sky? I don't get it.
I'm actually glad that it's about 50 degrees right now.
Well, see, nope. I'm in my house. Every heater is on to 80 degrees. I got on two pairs of socks, some thermals, a sweater. I'm just like sitting here shaking. Like it's cold.
I'm sitting here in shorts.
I'm actually naked, but I didn't want to bring that up.
Well, you know, I actually am naked as well, but I thought by saying shorts, it'd be a lot better. But, you know, I
wish you guys wouldn't do that, because you know my mind goes straight to mental image. So.
I'm naked eating a cantaloupe.
I can describe it for you if you'd like.
Oh, my God. No, we're too close friends to know.
I'm naked eating a cantaloupe and some ramen.
Oh, my God. I suddenly feel like I walked into my parents having sex.
Ow. I dropped the ramen. There's a noodle on my lap. And it's not my own. I don't understand what's happening.
Just stop.
So, Brandy, in the last segment, we talked about the American version of Being Human. Have you had a chance to watch this yet?
You know what? I've seen snip bits and pieces of it, and there wasn't enough there to actually keep me enthralled. So I haven't bothered, but so I guess I can say it sucks, but
so.
But to be fair, you know, the BBC version, it's, you know, I watched the first season, I'm halfway through the second season of it, and I'm still kind of about the show. It has its moments. You know, it has good moments, good little storylines here and there, but as a whole, there's just something about it that just doesn't catch me.
You know, let me just say this. Third season starts off with werewolf sex.
Okay. You know what? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's like the first season, the werewolf dude is like all bitchy about the fact that he's a werewolf. I just want to be normal. I just want to be human. I'm just really kind of sick of that storyline. It's pretty much the only way that anybody goes, you know?
Right.
Hi, I'm all powerful. I have these coolest powers. I can eat people and get away with it. But, oh, my God, I just want to go to the grocery store. I just want to be human. It's all shut up. Go climb a tree, howl at the moon, have some fun with it, you know? But, yeah, I'm kind of sick of the whining, oh, if only I could be human. But I did like the ghost chick, though. I thought that was an interesting storyline. But the politics of the whole vampire world aspect kind of, you know. It's boring. You know, it's like I hate to say it because the show has, like, so much potential and it does so many different cool things, but there are the little aspects that stick out that I just,
well,
know,
overall,
like
I think
on,
the show is entertaining for myself, the British version, but, you know, it is, I – definitely admit that it's cheesy as hell. I mean, really, it's kind of a ridiculous concept for a show.
Yeah, it
sounds like the beginning of a joke, like a ghost, a werewolf, and a vampire walk into a bar.
Until
right. But yeah, the American version though, it just there's so many things that just are off with it. The acting too, I think, is really kind of wooden. Like the characters don't have the same depth that they do on the UK show. So it's
I will say that totally. The characters and the actors involved in the US version just don't seem like they're that interested. Like
yeah, they're just doing it for the paycheck.
They're clones
exactly,
at this
like,
point.
Fuck you, I came to work today.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, like
well, I showed up. Whatever.
They're just clones. I mean, there's no point. I mean, Sam Witwer was fucking Doomsday on Smallville, you know, and he still ruined that. So, yeah, whatever. Fuck all y'all.
I think my biggest problem with Sam Witwer, just as an actor, is he has permanent duck face.
Yeah.
And I can't stand to look at him.
He's all kinds of duck man.
That's funny.
Is this a bad time, Randy, to mention that they're making an American version of Luther?
I'm sorry, what?
Is this a bad time to tell you that they're making an American version of Luther?
What? I can't hear you. I'm blocking you out. Why didn't they just show the BBC, like the BBC version on BBC America? They just did it. And they're starting, I was just looking it up last night, actually, because they're starting series two. Sometime it's supposed to be around Easter, I guess. But why would you do an American version of it? But they're talking about doing an American version of the Misfits too. That just breaks my heart.
I was just kidding about the American version of Luther. I just wanted to see what you were.
Oh God! Thank you. You're an ass.
I missed you.
Man, you suck. But that's funny. You got me. But see, totally, because it's not that far-fetched. It's like, I'm proud to be an American, because at least I know I'm free, but I really wish that they would stop, you know, taking over BBC stuff. It's like, just don't touch it. You know, the British, they're just better at it than we are.
Well,
so
no,
just, like, leave the show
in certain cases. I think there's certain British TV shows that are just blah.
I'm watching the American version of Shameless, and having never seen Shameless on the BBC, like, I love this show, the American version.
I will give you that. I am loving the American version of Shameless.
Yeah, that's because it's
on
a
watching
channel.
The BBC version. I'm sorry?
I think it's because it's on a pay channel where they can actually stay to
perform,
you know? Whereas the rest of the things are on, like, Sci-Fi or MTV and stuff, and they cut out all the things about the British show that make it a great show.
Which is weird, because Sci-Fi and MTV are still channels you have to pay for. I mean, yeah, they're part of, like, the cable packaging, but, you know, they're not free. You'd think they would have a little more freedom to kind of...
Right, but in the instance of Skins, where it's all about, you know, high school kids having sex and doing drugs, when you cut that out, what the fuck is the show about at that point? It's Friends, you know? So it's they take away what made that show the show.
Yeah, the MTV version of Skins is just, like, it's disturbing.
That's like, something else that kind of disappoints me with the Being Human US version, is I know I'm not going to see any boobs, so...
And we've lost Brian at that point. There's no point. I mean,
right.
Lost Brian at that point. We can't keep Brian interested, then we can't even do this show for that, for Christ's sake. You know? I've got to show him my boobs on this show every now and then, so.
No comment.
Going back to being naked.
Yes. Again, with the mental image and just the wrongness of it all. So I love you guys, but I don't love you guys. I don't need to see that. Don't need to see it.
Well, all right,
oh, no, but the U.S. version of Shameless is good. I started watching the British version of Shameless, and I'm only like a couple of episodes in. There's really not that many differences. I know people who, like, you know, watch the BBC version first are, like, disgusted with the U.S. version, but I did find it entertaining. I'm almost ashamed to admit it. It's like, I really like it. But
yeah, no, I love the show. And again, I think it's because I haven't seen the BBC version. So I think, in fairness to, you know, everybody else, if you have not seen the BBC versions of these shows, then you probably really enjoy the American version of the shows, having never been exposed to it. But if you have watched the British versions, then you really don't want to watch the American versions because they're just watered down, you know, adaptations of them. But having never seen Shameless on the BBC, I love the American version. I think William H. Macy is the fucking man on this show. He's doing a great job. And Joan Cusack.
Yeah, it's an
her character's phenomenal, you know?
It is an amazing job, and it's a discussion that I've been having about that show with William H. Macy, and just the character that he's playing, where there's absolutely nothing redeemable about this
character.
At
all. At fucking all.
Nothing. You know? It's like, if this dude was to fall down a fucking well, you'd cheer. You're like, thank God this asshole.
It's like all the love and concern that you gained for William H. Macy while watching Fargo, gone.
Gone.
Like, fuck you, William H. Macy.
Somebody just stab him in the eye. It's like, no way. So I had to give him some credit, because now it's like when I even see William H. Macy, I kind of cringe, you know, just from this character that he's playing on Shameless. But I've...
Is it sad that I'm growing up my hair itself. Like this character?
No. Ew.
Like, I want my hair...
And that's the thing, like, when you see him, it's like you can almost smell him through the TV. It's like, oh my God, you are filthy.
I want to go in that house and clean it. I just want to clean their house.
Kind of interested to watch this show now.
Totally.
You need to watch it, Brian.
No, it's
seriously. You'll see lots of boobs.
Lots of boobs, lots of sex.
Well,
lots
you
of
got
boobs.
Me there.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
There's strap-ons involved. There's lots of good stuff.
Okay, now you're losing me.
There's a hemorrhoid pillow, you know.
Yeah, totally the hemorrhoid pillow. I forgot about that. Totally. Oh, yeah, and Joan Cusack.
That's what
so
I'm saying. She's nailing it.
Joan Cusack and something.
She's nailing it. She's so nailing that.
She really is.
Like, she owns it.
Like, ridiculously so. So, but, yeah, so there's some really, really great aspects about that show. But, you know, particularly William H. Macy and Joan Cusack. And the kids are cool, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're good. You know, they're good. But, yeah, the outstanding performances are definitely Joan Cusack and William H. Macy. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I know. That's pretty much all I've been doing. You're like, you know, like, hey, where you been? It's like, in my free time, I'm watching literally Firefly over and over and over again, followed by Serenity, and then waiting for Shameless and the Big Bang Theory to come on. It's like, that's it.
You know, speaking about that, there's a, you know, Nathan Fillion went on like last week and said that, you know, if I had $300 million, I would buy the rights to Firefly and blah, blah, blah. You know, guys, he was speaking facetiously, yet online has been, like, all these petitions to try and raise that money for Nathan Fillion so he can buy Firefly. You know, like...
Oh, see, now see, yeah, I joined, like, a little Facebook group just, you know, because I was like, ha-ha, that'd be totally cool, you know, that
right.
Dream World joke. And then I saw on Twitter he posted, like, please don't send money. I was like, whoa.
Right, it was a joke. All these people
like,
are like...
Who the hell sent money?
They're like, well, it's all because of Detroit. It's Detroit's fault. That this all came about.
With the RoboCop statue.
The RoboCop statue, yeah. And because of that, people are seeing that now things can happen if they had the money, and they're going forward with it, and they're trying to make things happen because of it. So.
Yeah, I think people should stop with the Firefly thing, because it's been too long now.
It has. Don't get me wrong, I am a huge fan of Firefly. We've gone over on the show many times.
It's a phenomenal, amazing show, but it's been too long for it to come back.
Right. I mean, it's just it's not going to happen. It's not going to be the same.
No. Yeah, but quite honestly, everybody's aged a little bit, so...
Yeah, they've aged, they've moved on to other projects, and it just...
Though, you know what, if...
Most of them are working, that's good.
If it gave Summer Glau something other to do than the cape, then I'm all for it, but...
Oh, is she in the cape?
Yes, she's in the fucking cape. That show is horrendous, I don't understand why it's still in the air.
I haven't watched it yet, because I... kind of got the inside track on it before it aired, so I was like, I'm not even gonna waste my time.
yeah. And that's what I discussed on the show. I was like, yeah, I know a friend who did the editing on the show, hated it so much, she quit and moved out of state. Like,
damn.
That's the extent of the show, how bad it is. But
that's how bad it is.
I might watch an episode just to kind of see what it's
do
about.
Do yourself a favor. It's no point. No point.
Just don't?
Yeah.
Okay.
It has that black dude in it, though, that dude. I don't know his name, and that's really sad because I'm black and I really should. It's a rule. I should know every black actor's name. but, oh my God, and the only thing I can think of that he was in was Men at Work.
Yeah, yeah.
With Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez.
You're going to make me IMDb him, aren't you?
I know. I think he was in The Job, too. Remember that Dennis Leary show that was on Channel 7 for a little while? He was in that. He played the police chief. Anyways, but yeah, he's funny. He makes me laugh. He's black and he's an actor. That's all I got.
Now you're a white person because you pretty much do the same. Are you talking Keith David?
Yes, thank you.
He was in The Thing. Okay. That's all you got to remember him from is The Thing and Spawn.
Oh, yeah, The Thing. Yeah. Everybody, every dude I know that was born in the 70s, you know, in addition to their thing from Star Wars and everything, it's always The Thing.
The Thing is an awesome movie.
It stands up even now.
See?
Like, that movie stands up now.
Really? I mean, the special effects are phenomenal even now. I mean, it still looks amazing.
Special effects, storyline, acting, everything. I mean, it's... Yeah.
It was okay.
Whenever I
Russ Lev's finest.
I'm sorry.
The only fear I have about snow is because of The Thing.
But no, we went and saw it. I hadn't seen it in years, like since I was a kid, you know, since the 80s. And then we went and saw it at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which was, you know, a cool experience. But, like, the amount of testosterone, like, when I was just like, I don't get it. But I guess it's just not for me to get.
It's because there's no women in the movie. That's why you can't relate to anybody.
Well, no, I totally related to it. Like, I think it's like, I totally related to it. It's like, damn. It's like, don't call me. It's like, you pretty much just call me a pussy. But,
baby, you are what you mean. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, just because I have one doesn't mean I am one. No, but I mean, like, I relate to it. I think it's a good flick, but it's just, like, it's borderline obsession with some people when it comes to The Thing. And every time you say it, it's like, hey, you ever seen The Thing? Oh, man, The Thing. Yeah, it's great.
Which is basically, it's like the best remake ever.
Okay.
Like, because, I mean, I haven't seen any other remake that even tops, you know, the amount of remake that did. Because, I mean, the original came out in, like, the 50s, and it wasn't even nearly as scary as the new version.
Yeah, well, the original one wasn't scary at all, because I actually saw that version before I saw The Thing, and yeah. I had not really wanted to watch The Thing after seeing the original version, because I just thought it was going to be more same stupid movie.
Right.
But I was wrong.
Well, alrighty. Well, now that we've done played catch-up, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some more reviews.
Hi, I'm a chick. And I read comic books and play video games. And yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And I'm sorry.
And we're back. All right, AJ, so you've got something for us. What is it?
Herpes.
I've already got that, so what else have you got for us?
And now I'm glad we have that recorded. earlier in the panel cast, we discussed how Dwayne McDuffie had passed away this year, a couple days ago, actually. Brandy, did you have anything you wanted to say about Dwayne McDuffie? I know you posted about it online.
Yeah, I guess it was just the shock of it. One, because he was so young. I don't know. It was just weird. We met him at Free Comic Book Day last year, sat a couple booths away from him. And so I didn't, you know, talk to him for long. And, you know, I just went over and said hello and introduced myself. But he was just very cool and very sweet and very friendly and kind, which is, you know, it's kind of 50-50 in this industry.
Right.
When you meet somebody in the entertainment industry, whether or not they're going to be sociable. And he was just, you know,
or stalk you online.
Or stalk you online. That's my job. But no, he was just, you know, he was a really, really cool person. And, you know, for the few moments that I spent with him, he really did make an impact. And then just with the work that he did, you know, really just kind of a trailblazer, you know, setting, you know, the milestones and everything with creating African-American characters, Asian characters, just basically ethnic characters that weren't really there and represented before. So
most predominantly being Static Shock.
Yeah. So it's just, it's weird, and at the, you know, it's just very strange, but I feel very privileged to have met him. I feel privileged to have been exposed to his work. And it was really, you know, in a very large sense of the word, a role model in that aspect of, you know, being a person of color in an industry, in most industries, especially particularly the entertainment industry, where we're not really represented. And he was somebody that saw that as an issue, as a problem, and worked in order, you know, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little choked up.
That's all right.
Yeah, he and worked very hard to make sure that we were represented, that we weren't overlooked. And it was something that appealed to everybody, where it, you know, where it did, you know, kind of cross that color line, you know, so to speak. So his loss is a great one, and he will very much be remembered and very much be missed.
Indeed. He, it's sad that, as I stated earlier, he passed away the day that the new movie that he did was released. What I didn't know was that it was one day after his birthday that he passed away.
Yeah.
He had just turned 49, and he died of complications from emergency heart surgery performed the previous evening. So, it's sad to see Dwayne McDuffie go.
I'm kind of sad that I never got to meet him personally myself.
Yeah, he was really cool. That for the like the scant minutes that I got to talk to him, he was like real awesome guy, real outgoing, you know. And it was an honor to sit behind a table with him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the guy that created Static Shock. It was one of the cartoons I grew up watching, you know. Granted, it was in 2000, and I was like 27 at the time. But at the same time.
It still counts.
It still counts for something, damn it. He also worked on the Justice League animated features, Teen Titans, Scooby-Doo, Ben 10. Last year, he did a Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, which was an awesome movie that had come out. And again, on Tuesday was released All-Star Superman, which I sat down and actually had a chance to watch. And that kind of segues into the next bit I wanted to talk about, was actually reviewing All-Star Superman. All-Star Superman was a film adaptation of a comic book miniseries that was put out by Grant Morrison, which depicted Superman on a different Earth, you know, different universes. You know, on DC they have multiple universes, multiverses as they call it.
Right.
And so this Superman was depicted in this particular universe as having never come out to Lois Lane and, you know, what have you. And basically what happens is that Lex Luthor poisons the sun and oversaturates Superman's cells with, you know, radiation from the sun, and thus giving him a year to die. So during that time, Superman goes and tries to not only be Superman, but opens himself up to Lois Lane, exposes himself as being Clark Kent, and tries to develop a relationship with her before he passes away. So that was the series that came out from 2005 to 2008. It was only a 12-issue comic book series, but it was adapted into this film, which was written by Dwayne McDuffie. And, man, this film had me almost crying at the end. It's that good of a film. The animation was done phenomenally. The voice acting was really great, and the story itself was, yeah, it was wow. The plot that Wiki has up there is Lex Luthor enacts his plan to rid the world of Superman once and for all, succeeding with solar radiation poisoning. The Man of Steel is slowly dying. With what little time remains, the last son of Krypton must confront the revealing of his secret identity to Lois Lane and face Luthor in a final battle. And that battle was epic. It was like, fuck you, what the hell's going on? So. Yeah, it was. It's an awesome movie, and it was a great way for Dwayne McDuffie to, like, you know, unfortunately end his career at the capper of his career. So if you haven't had a chance to watch it, it came out on Tuesday. Pick it up and watch it, and just let us know what you think, because it is an awesome film, one of the best ones. And I hate Superman. I hate Superman as a character altogether. I think he's just retarded.
I was about to say that. That knowing how you feel about Superman, that's really a bold statement. Bold statements that you're making about this film, and, you know, about the movie.
Yeah,
it definitely makes me want to
character that you enjoy.
Give it a watch.
So. Yeah, I can't stand Superman. I just think he's just an over the top ridiculous character.
Right, right.
Why create a god that can't be destroyed? You know, and just to, but these side stories like this, like All-Star Superman and Superman's Secret Identity, those stories, they reach out to me, and they self-contained story arcs, and I really enjoy them more. So this one in particular, the film, like I said, I was almost crying at the end. It was that good. So great job, Dwayne, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just sad. Like 49 is just, and barely 49, it's just too young.
Right, I mean, he's only 12 years older than me, 13 years older than me.
So, and that's the thing. Remember when we were like, you know, 15, 16, 17, you hear people dying like, you know, 40 in their 40s, you'd be like, oh, well, they lived a good life. And it's like,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Now we're like, 30s, we don't have that much time left.
And so it's not even that. It's like 40 ain't nothing. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like, I'm just figuring out who the hell I am. I'm 33.
Right. I'm 37. I'm
actually 90 now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Which, you know, but it's just really, really young Betty West, you know, an amazing, amazing body of work behind.
Yeah, he did. He will always be remembered, you know, in that way. So he also worked on Hellraiser. Awesome. I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
He wrote some issues of Hellraiser, the comic book, and yeah, Batman Gothic Knights. Yeah, see, I've read his stuff.
Totally, yeah. It's all everything.
Everything.
So he worked on everything, put it that way. So, but yeah, sad, sad days. But, you know, hopefully, again, you know, just our condolences to his friends and to his family.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, with that, we are done with this episode. Yay!
Yay!
Does
that mean I can finish watching Chuck a lot now?
Ew.
But you have to watch it naked.
Okay.
No. She'll enjoy it. Chocolat is one of those movies where women want to watch naked because they want to believe that they're wrapped
totally.
Up with Johnny
no,
Depp.
Totally. Well, see, what happened was... I was watching I Love You, Man, and they were joking about Chocolat. What a gay-ass movie it is. And I was like, fuck, I own that movie. I'm still going to watch it right now.
And boo.
So, yay. So, totally, it's been on, like, I'm sitting here during the interview, and it's literally, it's been on mute. And, of course, I'm hungry as hell now. And I want chocolate.
So, chocolate. Yay.
Panel cast is over. I can go find chocolate. Yay.
Yay, naked.
Naked, of course.
This is the all-naked episode, so... But real quick shout-outs. For those of you who had a chance to check out the websites and Facebooks and what have you, you guys may have noticed our new little excitement, happiness, and stuff about Joseph Preston is a sculptor and an artist, and he'll be working with us more frequently coming up soon. But he did an amazing job with our new ZKS statuette that he made.
Yes.
This thing, I'm looking at it now, and I'm really glad I'm naked while I'm holding this.
Okay, I think that's probably more disturbing than anything I've said so far.
I don't know. You've said some pretty disturbing things.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. You know?
This statue is phenomenal. He did an amazing job with it. The detail in it, the size of it, the depth of it, and the fact that he's bringing two more over today of different poses and different ZKS members and stuff. I words cannot describe how elated I am about this, you know.
Yeah, I was pretty excited when I saw the pics you sent me of the statue.
Yeah, they're just...
Yeah, it looks amazing. Totally, like you were saying, the detail on it is just insane.
Yeah,
it just looks really, really cool.
It's disgusting. So, you know, thank you, Joseph, out there, and looking forward to more work coming from him. Also, I wrote an editorial this week on Cameron Dorch, another Forbidden Panel member who was... shamefully passed up for the opportunity to be a contestant on the show Face Off by Sci-Fi. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, Sci-Fi has a TV show called Face Off, and what it is different special effects makeup artists are presented with different challenges on a weekly basis, and you know it's almost like Project Runway or what have you, but with zombies. So, you know, he submitted his work into it, and he did not get chosen as a contestant, which is an unfortunate thing.
Lame.
For him. Because
I've seen some of the pictures and stuff of things he's done, and he's pretty awesome.
He is awesome, and we'll put some pictures up, including the submission he made to Sci-Fi up on the website. So please go, if you have a chance, check it out. It should be right under this that you're listening to, right directly underneath it. And expect a new spotlight coming out each week for the next few weeks as we showcase all the new members of Forbidden Panel and what to expect from them. So, which is helping me get back on the writing game because I need to write.
Yay!
Yeah, please check out all of our friends' websites. Brian, thank you very much for being the host, co-host as always. And Brandy, thank you for joining us. It's been a long time. We miss you. Hopefully we'll see you more often on the show.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yay. So,
it's always a pleasure.
Unless anybody else has got something to say?
Nuh-uh.
All right, then.
Oh, wait, yeah. Visit BrandyAlsett.com.
Yeah, visit BrandyAlsett.com.
That's it.
All right, guys. Thank you, and we will see you next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.